We know him as the rich young ruler. Bible scholars would agree that in all probability he was the ruler of a synagogue. Being so young in age, he would not have been a scribe. Luke is the one that actually refers to him as a ruler. Matthew and Mark, who also tell this story, does not. And we want to understand at the very beginning of this story, the Bible never describes this young man as an evil man. He is not described as someone who is looking to get back at Christ, who is looking to tear Christ down, who is looking for a way to gain an advantage in life. In fact, from all that we read, this young man came to Jesus sincerely, honestly, with a desire to be closer to the Savior. In fact, Mark's account of the story mentions the fact that Jesus, when he looked upon him, he loved him. Jesus no doubt saw his heart and saw that he was looking for a way to improve himself spiritually. You know, we also want to make note here that this young man was looking for what was right. He was looking for the same thing that you and I look for in our life. He was wanting eternal life. He was wanting something more than what he had at the present time. And I would like to think that that's one of the reasons that we are here today, is because we know that there is something ahead of us that is better than what we have right now. So we can understand this young man and his desire to be closer to his Lord. In fact, he asked the $64,000 question. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is it that is necessary of me that I can become stronger, that I can become more faithful, that I can become more loving, more understanding, and follow your will? Now, you know, any law, any Jew will understand that in their day, salvation hinged upon their keeping the law. And when he came to Jesus with this question, he wasn't looking for a way to increase his greatness, but he was actually admitting that something was missing within him. And he wanted to know what that something was. And I guess this is somewhere that we have all been. I mean, he realized that there was something inadequate about him. And at times we have to realize ourselves that there are sometimes we are inadequate as followers of Jesus because of weaknesses that we have or mistakes that we make. We may be inadequate. And we've all had moments like this in our lives, haven't we? So he asked this question. And Jesus, when he hears this question, he not only gives the right Jewish answer, but he gives the right answer, period. Keep the commandments. Now, if any Jew kept the commandments of God, they knew that salvation is theirs. Now, I want us to notice one thing in the answer that Jesus gave. The commands that Jesus mentioned to this young man to keep were commands between man and man. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. And honor your father and mother. They are love your neighbor commandments. They are commandments that we keep within ourselves, how we treat each other in life. And you know, I believe that this man understood that there is more to a relationship than obedience, because the first thing he said was, I've done all of this since I was a youth. I have kept these commandments. I understand what you're talking about here. But yet, what do I lack? There is something missing. And Jesus' answer was this. Go and sell what you have. Give it to the poor. And then you will have treasure in heaven. Now, this was not the answer that this young man expected to hear. In fact, the disciples that heard him tell this, it wasn't the answer that they were expecting to hear. Because to them, being rich meant that God has blessed you richly and that you must be doing everything right if God is being so good to you. But it's interesting to note that when he finished telling this young man this, he said two words. This is really what I want to talk about today. When he had said that, he said, "And come, follow me. Take what you have and give it to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. And then I want you to follow me. Give your life to me. Make me number one with you." And we know the result of that statement. The young man went away sorrowful. Scriptures tell us that he had great possessions. You know, Jesus was looking for this man to change his life from this day forward. He had called upon this man to give to him a lifelong commitment. He had called upon this man to deny his riches, to deny his self, and to give his life to Jesus. But you know, in this young man's eyes, it was just too much. I mean, the young man may have thought that Jesus was going to tell him to do some specific deed or maybe to perform some specific service in addition to keeping the commandments, but a lifetime change? This was just too much. And this young man simply could not go that far. I have to tell you, my friends, when you and I come to the point in our life to where we knew sin had separated us from God, and we began searching for eternal life, we, like that rich young ruler, we came to Jesus, and we wanted to know, what is it that I can do, that I can be righteous, that I can live a good life, that I can be in your graces, that I can live eternally with you someday on high. And we had to know that it's going to be more than just simply keeping the commandments. You know, many of us grew up in the church as I did. I was born into a home that was a Christian home. We grew up with good morals. We grew up with spirituality, and the more we learned, the more we came in contact with Jesus, the more we learned to love Jesus, and we understood what was needed on our part to be a part of Jesus. And even us who was raised in the church environment, we still realized that it would come a time in our life when we would be lacking something. And we needed to know what that something was. It's just like Nicodemus. When he was faced with the teaching of what it meant to be born again, we faced that. It was something that had to come extra. It wasn't just enough to be moral. It wasn't just enough to be good. It wasn't enough just to say, "Jesus, I love you." There was something more. We wanted into the kingdom, but being born again, that's asking a lot. And many people have that frame of mind. But those of us who are sitting here today, we came to an understanding of that, didn't we? We came to an understanding of what Peter was talking about in Acts chapter 2 when he told the people in Jerusalem to repent and be baptized. We understood that. We understood what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 6 when becoming a child of God involved baptism. We understood that, didn't we? We knew what we were lacking. We knew what was missing. And we were willing to do that was lacking in our lives so that we could be completely a part of Christ. That when we were buried with Christ, when we rose from that water, we had done the extra. We had done what was lacking. And for us, following Jesus was, yes, following the commands. But now we have a relationship with God. We accepted that the only way to the Father was through the Son. And we knew that. You see, Christianity is not just a religion. Christianity is a way of life. And committing ourselves to follow Jesus for the rest of our lives is something that we must do in order to complete that which is lacking. I fear that today we have people sitting in this auditorium who are still lacking because they really haven't developed that relationship yet. They haven't understood that there's more to being a Christian than just obeying the commands. There is a following involved. There is a loving involved. There is a desire involved to do everything for Christ. So we commit ourselves to Christ for the rest of our lives. But unfortunately, sometimes things go wrong. And we find ourselves with a failed commitment. Maybe we have failed morally. Maybe we have failed by sins of the heart. Maybe we have failed by some secret sin that has become our idol, our love, our possession. Perhaps we have openly rebelled against God and against His glory. So what do we do now? I want to tell you, my friends, this morning that you are not alone in feeling the guilt of sin because you have something lacking. If you'll turn to the person to the right and the person to the left, you will see that they are having the very same problem because we all, at one time or the other, lack as a Christian. We have all experienced this. Even some of the greatest of the Bible have experienced this. The Apostle Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And he wept bitterly because of what he had done. And even after that, Peter, he even came and saw the empty tomb. He knew that Jesus had rose from the dead. It was in the room when Jesus came with the disciples in the locked room, and Peter saw him there. He knew that Jesus was alive. And he knew that his life had been changed forever. But even with all of this, Peter still lacked something in his heart. So what did he do? He went back to his old work. He went back fishing. Peter and several others went back to what they were doing before Jesus had called them. And on this occasion, they had fished all night and had caught absolutely nothing. Someone came along on the shore and told them to cast their nets on the other side. And they did. And caught a huge amount of fish. When they realized that it was Jesus, Peter jumped into the water and swam faster than they could get the boats to the shore. Because it was his master. Jesus was waiting on them with breakfast. And I want us to read together in John 21 as to what happened next. And this is the most amazing thing. Peter found out what was lacking in his life. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again, a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And he said, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." The same words that he spoke to the rich young ruler. Follow me. You see, Jesus is looking ahead in Peter's life. He's literally looking to the end of Peter's life. And he is indicating to Peter that his death would glorify him. And it wasn't the fact that this was going to happen when he became old. It wasn't the fact that he was going to die a martyr's death. But the most important thing was those last two little words. Follow me. You see, Jesus was calling Peter to do something greater than his guilt. Because Peter still had guilt for denying him. Peter was calling upon Jesus to repent. He was calling upon him to change. He was calling upon him to come back to that lifelong commitment and to leave those nets again and fish for men again. You see, that's the whole point of this lesson. Christianity is not just an acknowledgement. Every one of us in this room who are Christians have acknowledged Jesus Christ. We did so publicly because that's what you do before you are baptized into Christ. And we have all done that. And many people feel that when they do that, well, you know, that's the end of the story. That's not the end of the story. That's just the beginning of the story. Because after that acknowledgement, there has to be a commitment. A lifelong commitment. It's not something that ends with the setting of the sun. It is something that goes on and on and on. Follow me. Don't say you love me and then walk away. Don't say that you'll live for me and continue living for the world. But change. Give up that which is worldly, and you will have treasure in heaven. And follow me. Christian friend, if you can't look at Christianity this way, then you need to look at it again. If you're here today and you have failed in your lifelong commitment to the Lord, you need to think about your life seriously. Because it's a lot more than acknowledgement. And it's a lot more than just keeping commandments. You know, we learn early in life that if we don't keep the commandments, there's usually punishment involved. Something is going to happen that we don't like because we didn't do what we should. But there's so much more to Christianity than just following the law. There has to be love. So if you're here today and you can't look at Christianity like this, change your life. Give your life back to God in a better way. Jesus knew that Peter was suffering. So he offered him a better thing. Repent. Put it away from you. No one in this room thinks about things you've done 20, 30 years ago before you become a child of God because it's all in the past. We're in a relationship with God that is far greater than anything else. And one of the greatest things about being a child of God is we don't have to think about our past. We don't have to think about sins that we have repented of. It's a benefit. Jesus knew that. Peter, get over this. Walk away from it. Come back to that commitment. So, Christian, if you're in this need, we beg you, remove that guilt. Change that life. And commit yourself to Christ again. It may be that you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. You need to commit yourself to this lifelong journey today. By giving your life to Him, you can put away the things that really don't matter. And you can take on to yourself the things that really do. And gain the benefit that comes from being a child of God. We sing this song, "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." Grant it, Jesus, 'tis my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. You walk with Jesus every day in your life. If not, make that change today. If you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, please come while we stand and sing.